Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We begin this morning in chapter 4 of Micah. This is God's word. "In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established at the top of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. People will stream to it, and many nations will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us about his ways so we may walk in his paths.' For instruction will go out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will settle disputes among many peoples and provide arbitration for strong nations that are far away. They will beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not take up the sword against nation, and they will never again train for war. But each person will sit under his grapevine and under his fig tree with no one to frighten him. For the mouth of the Lord of armies has spoken. Though all the peoples each walk in the name of their gods, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. On that day," this is the Lord's declaration, "I will assemble the lame and gather the scattered, those I have injured. I will make the lame into a remnant, those far removed into a strong nation. Then the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time on and forever. And you, watchtower for the flock, fortified hill of daughter Zion, the former rule will come to you. Sovereignty will come to daughter Jerusalem." Now, "Why are you shouting loudly? Is there no king with you? Has your counselor perished so that anguish grips you like a woman in labor? Writhe and cry out, daughter Zion, like a woman in labor, for now you will leave the city and camp in the open fields. You will go to Babylon. There you will be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you from the grasp of your enemies. Many nations have now assembled against you. They say, 'Let her be defiled, and let us feast our eyes on Zion.' But they do not know the Lord's intentions or understand his plan, that he has gathered them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Rise and thresh, daughter Zion, for I will make your horns iron and your hooves bronze, so you can crush many peoples. Then you will set apart their plunder for the Lord, their wealth for the Lord of the whole earth. Now, daughter, who is under attack, you slash yourself in grief. A siege is set against us. They are striking the judge of Israel on the cheek with a rod. Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are small among the clans of Judah. One will come from you to be ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from antiquity, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of the ruler's brothers will return to the people of Israel. He will stand and shepherd them in the strength of the Lord, in the majestic name of the Lord his God. They will live securely, for then his greatness will extend to the ends of the earth. He will be their peace. When Assyria invades our land, when it marches against our fortresses, we will raise against it 7 shepherds and 8 leaders of men. They will shepherd the land of Assyria with the sword, the land of Nimrod with a drawn blade. So he will rescue us from Assyria when it invades our land, when it marches against our territory. Then the remnant of Jacob will be among many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, which do not wait for anyone or linger for mankind. Then the remnant of Jacob will be among the nations, among many peoples, like a lion among animals in the forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep, which tramples and tears as it passes through, and there's no one to rescue them. Your hand will be lifted up against your adversaries, against all your and all your enemies will be destroyed. In that day, this is the Lord's declaration, I will remove your horses from you and wreck your chariots. I will remove the cities of your land and tear down all your fortresses. I will remove sorceries from your hands, and you will not have any more fortune tellers. I will remove your carved images and sacred pillars from you so that you will no longer worship the work of your hands. I will pull up the Asherah poles from among you and demolish your cities. I will take vengeance in anger and wrath against the nations that have not obeyed me. Now listen to what the Lord is saying. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your complaint. Listen to the Lord's lawsuit, you mountains and enduring foundations of the earth, because the Lord has a case against his people, and he will argue it against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? Or how have I wearied you? Testify against me. Indeed, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from that place of slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam ahead of you. My people remember what King Balak of Moab proposed, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from the acacia grove to Gilgal, so that you may acknowledge the Lord's righteous acts. What should I bring before the Lord when I come to bow before God on high? Should I come before him with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 streams of oil? Should I give my firstborn for my transgression, the offspring of my body for my own sin? Mankind, he has told each of you what is good and what it is the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. The voice of the Lord calls out to the city, and it is wise to fear your name. Pay attention to the rod and the one who ordained it. Are there still the treasuries of wickedness and the accursed short measure in the house of the wicked? Can I excuse wicked scales or bags of deceptive weights? For the wealthy of the city are full of violence, and its residents speak lies. The tongues in their mouths are deceitful. As a result, I have begun to strike you severely, bringing desolation because of your sins. You will eat, but not be satisfied, for there will be hunger within you. What you acquire, you cannot save, and what you do save, I will give to the sword. You will sow, but not reap. You will press olives, but not anoint yourself with oil. You will tread grapes, but not drink the wine. The statutes of Omri and all the practices of Ahab's house have been observed. You have followed their policies. Therefore, I will make you a desolate place and the city's residents an object of contempt. You will bear the scorn of my people. How sad for me. For I am like one who, when the summer fruit has been gathered after the gleaning of the grape harvest, finds no grape cluster to eat, no early fig which I crave. Faithful people have vanished from the land. There is no one upright among the people. All of them wait in ambush to shed blood. They hunt each other with a net. Both hands are good at accomplishing evil. The official and the judge demand a bribe. When the powerful man communicates his evil desire, they plot it together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is worse than a hedge of thorns. The day of your watchman, the day of your punishment is coming. At this time, their panic is here. Do not rely on a friend. Don't trust in a close companion. Seal your mouth from the woman who lies in your arms. Surely a son considers his father a fool, A daughter opposes her mother, and a daughter-in-law is against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. But I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will stand up. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I have sinned against him, I must endure the Lord's rage until he champions my cause and establishes justice for me. He will bring me into the light. I will see his salvation. Then my enemy will see, and she will be covered with shame. The one who said to me, "Where is the Lord your God?" My eyes will look at her in triumph. At that time, she will be trampled like mud in the streets. A day will come for rebuilding your walls. On that day, your boundary will be extended. On that day, people will come to you from Assyria and the cities of Egypt, even from Egypt to the Euphrates River, and from sea to sea and mountain to mountain. Then the earth will become a wasteland because of its inhabitants and as a result of their actions. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock that is your possession. They live alone in a woodland, surrounded by pastures. Let them graze in Bashan and Gilead as in ancient times. I will perform miracles for them, as in the days of your exodus from the land of Egypt. Nations will see and be ashamed of all their power. They will put their hands over their mouths and their ears will become deaf. They will lick the dust like a snake. They will come trembling out of their hiding places like reptiles slithering on the ground. They will tremble in the presence of the Lord our God. They will stand in awe of you. Who is a God like you, forgiving iniquity and passing over rebellion for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not hold on to his anger forever, because he delights in faithful love. He will again have compassion on us. He will vanquish our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show loyalty to Jacob and faithful love to Abraham, as you swore to our fathers from days long ago. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
As you hear those words, obviously there's a lot of back and forth. And as we said at the introduction to the book of Micah, these prophecies were given over a period of years. This is a collection of things that God spoke through the prophet Micah. So it's not surprising that when they're collected together and we just read through them one after another, that there's sort of a change in voice. Here it's speaking about God. Here it's God speaking to his people. All of it is God's inspired word. But in the midst of it, I hope as I read it that you could hear both the warning of what God promises is coming in the way of suffering and judgment, devastation, humiliation, exile, and again and again and again, God's promise of restoration, of redemption. If you want to know how seriously God takes sin, look at the cross. Because when Jesus bore our sin, that was the result. God's wrath was poured out on him. Sin is not some small, trifling matter. Sin is deadly. For me, one of the clearest examples of what sin is like in creation is the coral snake. If you haven't seen what a coral snake looks like, it's very pretty. I've been impressed with rattlesnakes and copperheads and anacondas and some of the others, but I would never look at them and say, oh, that's beautiful. But a coral snake, it's beautiful, brightly colored, not very large. Coral snakes don't get 6 feet long. They're just little. And they're the deadliest snake in North America. It is a very dangerous, deadly thing, even though it looks small, not intimidating. And let me tell you, that's what sin is like. You look at something that God says is wrong and you say, well, it's not that big a deal. It's deadly. That's the big deal. The original temptation in the Garden of Eden was a fruit that was pleasing to the eye, desirable for food, and hey, it'll make me wise, according to the serpent. But it was deadly. And you and I still suffer the results of that sin today. You need to realize whatever sin you know is in your life is not some small little thing. And so God tells his people repeatedly, repent, turn from it. And in the midst of it, there's this wonderful, famous statement, chapter 6. After the prophet says, what should I bring before the Lord when I come to bow before God on high? Should I come before him with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 streams of oil? What could I possibly do that would be pleasing to the Lord? I know I've done wrong, but now what can I do? And the response is, mankind, he's told each of you what is good. You already know what to do. What is it the Lord requires of you? To act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. Again and again, God distills his requirements. Are you having trouble with all the laws and the first five books of the Bible? Well, let's go back to the garden. There was one thing God said they could not do. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. So what'd they do? They ate the fruit of that tree. When Jesus is asked, you know, what's the greatest commandment? He says, the greatest commandment is you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second is like unto it. You're to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Everything else hangs on this. All the rest of the law is an expression of these two things. Love God and love your neighbor. That's what it comes down to. Everything else is just an expression of that. If you really love the Lord your God, you're not going to have other gods before him. You're not going to do things he says don't do. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to lie. All the law hangs on those two things. Our problem is that is not that we don't know what to do. Our problem is that we don't want to do what God asks. God, I will do anything you want. I'm yours, Lord. Do this. Not that. Just tell me what you want me to do. I'm willing to do whatever you want. Well, I want you to do this. Not that. God, what do you want? What can I bring you? God says, I don't need your stuff. God prescribed all kinds of sacrifices in the Old Testament, but the point of those sacrifices was not that God needed stuff. The point of the sacrifices was to show them that they needed a sacrifice to be made on their behalf. And all those sacrifices pointed to Jesus. That's what it was about. And so when we would come to God, it's not that, you know, okay, I'll be happy now because you brought me this thing. That's what I was looking for. No, why do you do it? Why do you do what you do? Is it out of love for God? Or is it because you're trying to manipulate God and get him on your side? I must confess, there have been many times in my own life when I have tried to do stuff because I wanted something from God. Jesus says, no, we're to pray, hallowed be thy name. God, I want your kingdom to come. You know what's best. I want your will to be done. Now, I want to ask you, do you really want the will of God above all else? Do you want the will of God more than you want your own will? Can you believe that God's will for you is better than anything you could come up with? Or do you still think, I'm afraid to give in to God because if I give in to God, things won't go my way? Well, praise the Lord if they don't go your way. God says, my ways are higher than yours. Don't insist on your way. Submit to God's will. So God promises his people, on the one hand, there's going to be suffering because of your sin. There's going to be judgment. But I'm going to bring you back. Chapter 7, beginning in verse 8, don't rejoice over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will stand up. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I've sinned against him, I must endure the Lord's rage until he champions my cause and establishes justice for me. He will bring me into the light. I will see his salvation. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that God is going to raise you up, that the same God who punishes sin will also restore his people? God promises salvation for those who trust in him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If your trust is in his salvation, you will be saved. If your trust is in figuring out how to do everything just right and do more good stuff than you have bad stuff, you are not saved. But if your hope is in God's mercy. Who is a God like you, forgiving iniquity and passing over rebellion for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not hold on to his anger forever because he delights in faithful love. He will again have compassion on us. He will vanquish our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Don't go dragging it back up. Oh, God, I know I've already confessed this to you and I've already repented of it and I've already turned from it, but I just can't believe I did that. What are you talking about? Do we need to confess our sins? Absolutely. But we don't need to keep dragging them back up. And we certainly do not need to return to them in the way that we live. God takes our sins, it says, casts all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show loyalty to Jacob and faithful love to Abraham as you swore to our fathers from days long ago. This is the promise of God. Those who trust in him will be saved.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.